And we are back from executive session and lunch break, and we're meeting with our county collector regarding a check received from Bank of America some time ago. And Sheila, would you like to explain this?
July of 09, we changed bank accounts, and in October of that year, the collector's main account was officially closed through Bank of America. They closed it themselves. However, they continued to accept ACH payments if they were offered, and then would charge us fees regard to that. The payments, as they accepted, I would contact the people that sent them and have them to get it back. This in, 2010, I'm looking for the exact month here. Anyway, in early 2010, I started getting bank statements with this amount deposited in that account again. Where the checks had came from before had been the Department of Treasury and related to the Missouri Housing, Secretary of Housing. I contacted them to see if they had deposited anything and so forth, because I had a phone number and had been able to contact them before. This number no longer was good, and so I held the funds, although Bank of America every month would service charge in that account. I held them until our outside auditor, Andy, from Davis, Lynn Davis and Mute, came in regard to what I should do. And he suggested that rather than to just continue for lengthy time, them service charging it out, make the county commission aware of it, and then we request the funds. And that is what we did. When we requested the funds, I once again sent a certified letter to the Secretary of Housing to the last address I had, and I received a signed letter back, the certified was, and asked them if it were their funds and to please give me an address to send the check to. No reply. That's been some months, and so I have the check, and I've been holding it in the collector's account. There's a couple of options, but the route that I've chose to go, unless there's an objection, is wrote the check to the county treasurer for $2,795.32 to go into county GCR, along with the documentation. And if ever the housing or anyone would come forth, then we would take it. The other one is if I make it out to the Secretary of Housing, it goes eventually to an unclaimed, to the Secretary of State, and is held forever in unclaimed funds and no use of it. So I have a check here for $2,795.32 that I'd like to give to the county treasurer, along with this letter explaining it, for it to go to county funds.
A couple of points that I'd like to make. Sheila invited me to her office some months ago and showed this check to me and questioned options with the knowledge and the thought that she should take it forth to our outside audit, which I concurred with her and said that's exactly what I felt that we should do and take advice from them. And Sheila has done just exactly that and followed through with what her recommendation was. The auditors have indicated our outside audit that they felt we should put that and retain that in general county revenue. And I agree completely with Sheila and think that we should follow their advice. And I would accept a motion to accept this check from the collector and to deposit in general county revenue.
So moved. I'll move that we accept the check with the collector letter to be deposited into the general county revenue.
Where I was going with the letter of explanation.
Sure.
I second that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the check from the Taney County Collector with the letter that accompanies it of explanation. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. And I think by putting that in the official record and by accepting that, we're covering all our bases, aren't we, Sheila?
I believe so.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you very much. We had two checks that we held over this morning. We have an executive session and a question on one.
I'm going to move that we postpone to a definite time the decision of those checks. Checks number 325547 and 325506 to 4 o'clock today after our legal update.
That first check number?
325547.
I've got 32557.
Yeah,
that's what I wrote down this morning, and I wrote it down here as well.
325547.
Okay.
And there's two fives. It's a six-digit check.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to postpone to a definite time of
4 o'clock.
The question of two checks which were held, which were 325547 and 325506. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Gentlemen, would you like to join us up here? Bob and Ron.
Ron.
Rick, you can join us if you want to. If you put the chairs together and grab that microphone,
okay.
You're good.
We're going to add this letter to the minutes. Let her put those in. Yeah, letters.
I got that right there.
Here's this one's longer than that one. I don't know what's different. Add to this.
No, this is different.
This is Castle Rock.
Yeah.
You want to know?
Do we want to?
That's let's bring that up, but I will give you this one. Actually, this is going to go with it. You've got it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I had asked for the issue of the flood update be included based upon our meeting last week with Mr. Mickey Davis and the company he represents, and to find out exactly where he was at, what we had done, what the follow-through had been. I had received consensus from this county commission basically to move forward with him if we could do that in a way that we would either have to go to bid or not go to bid, with the knowledge that if we went to bid, it was already going to be the time for the NOI. With that in hand, we entered into an arrangement with Mr. Davis that he would only do the NOI for, I forget what the amount was, guys. That's what you just handed me?
Yes.
$1,500. And that we would bid the rest of the project.
Correct. Yes, and, that's correct.
And if I am not mistaken, also you guys are going out and soliciting other companies as well as himself for the bidding on this project, all right, for like companies, people that do the same thing. I know they're a great distance away, but.
Right.
And what I wanted to do was to let you gentlemen know what I had done. And, in fact, I signed this agreement for the $1,500 with him. I don't remember what day that was. You'll have to tell
me. Tuesday, August the 2nd, I believe.
On Tuesday. Now, I think that in light of what had happened this morning, that I have signed an agreement that we also need to have our council review that agreement when they get here today to make sure that everything's hunky-dory about that. But what I did was entered into the point or to the part of the NOI which had to be completed by, again, August 17th.
Yes, yes, correct.
I have done that, and I did that based upon an agreement of this commission to move forward. Now, what I would like you all to do is to take us from that point forward and tell us what has happened with Mr. Davis, with his company, and any information regarding the properties. One other question, Bob, specifically I would like you to hit on, as I know that in our discussions we talked about substantially damaged properties and non-substantially damaged properties. And it was the thought that because it might cost upwards of $28,000 to $30,000 to do everything that's entailed in the non-substantially damaged, that we would take a look at first, at least, the substantially damaged properties. But with that said, we'd like to hear from you gentlemen.
First off,
basically what we did is Mr. Davis had contacted our office, and he had requested that I schedule meetings for this last Friday and Saturday. And basically we held an individual meeting with each individual property owner that was either substantially damaged or that had received damages in excess of 40%. So if they, after doing our initial determination, we've got a list of properties, a list of the, I believe it's 38 properties, and basically we scheduled a meeting with each of the people that were either substantially damaged or that were above 40% damaged. And Mr. Davis actually went, we actually spoke to each one again individually. He actually went through some initial calculations to give them an idea as to what dollar amount they might be receiving at the end of this. Now, in some cases, most of these folks, we had asked them to present any documentation that they could as far as appraisals, any flood insurance information they had, mortgage information. Basically, most of these folks brought a lot of documentation with them, and the thought there was that with this documentation, not only could Mr. Davis complete the notice of interest, but also complete the application as well. There was a thought to really try to expedite this process, that we would look at getting as much information in place as quickly as possible. Out of the, we talked to a total, and I apologize, I didn't have this calculated here, but we had nine people that we talked to that were substantially damaged. Of the nine, we did have one person that, for whatever reason, canceled the appointment. We've got one that told us that they weren't interested, but basically seven people signed a letter of intent telling us that they are interested in the buyout, that they do wish to proceed. We went ahead and had them actually sign a form that's normally utilized for the application, that explains to them that this is a voluntary program, that they can back, that, you know, that they're in no way obligated, but they did indicate that at this point they're interested in proceeding further. Then we also met with a total of six people that were not found initially to be substantially damaged, but that had damages ranging in the 40-some-odd percent category. Of those people, I've had two that have given us a definite no, that they do plan to rebuild, that they're not interested in the buyout. I've gotten two that have given me a definite yes at this point, and I've got one that's still considering this, but we've indicated to her that she needs to get back with us by Thursday.
These are the non-substantially damaged properties?
Yes.
Okay.
But what we found in the two in the two that are interested, these initially came out about in the 46% range, 46, 47%. And what we found is when they provided us with their documentation, it appears that they actually were substantially damaged. According to their documentation, it actually takes them over the 50%. And those were the folks we were really interested in.
Will that still be the fact if the houses are appraised higher?
My understanding is that it will, basically the floodplain manager makes the substantial damage assessment. Now, as the floodplain manager, I have to be able, at some point, we'll receive a community assistance visit, which is basically FEMA's terminology for an audit, and I have to be able to back up my reasoning for doing these assessments. I have to show that I was consistent and show the way the approach that I took. But my understanding is even if the appraised amount ended up different, then, you know, as long as I've got a consistent methodology for determining substantial damage, in many of these cases what we've actually utilized is the documentation that they received from the National Flood Insurance Program through FEMA, where FEMA has actually given an estimate of the market value of the house, and also an estimate of the cost of the damages. And then they've also provided us, many of these folks had already received a flood insurance payment, and so many of them already knew, you know, they had received a check for this amount. And so it got pretty specific. We were able to sit down with each property owner. We really worked with them all day Friday, and to be honest with you, most of the day Saturday. We scheduled these. Each one was an hour-long appointment, and in one case, we actually sat down for 2 hours with one couple. They really debated this, to be honest with you. But we've essentially, one of the things that Mr. Davis is recommending, and this was one of my questions for the commission, is it's been my understanding, at least at this point, that we're going to look primarily at the substantially damaged properties. And it was his feel, if that was the case, that it would probably be prudent to send a letter to the other folks on the list, basically indicating that decision has been made. I've gotten quite a few calls today, to be honest with you, from the folks that aren't substantially damaged, you know, really questioning just that.
Now, let me back up and make sure that I understand you. We're potentially making a decision to reach outside of just the homes that were substantially damaged.
Well,
I need to know with some clarity what you're saying.
I think what his recommendation was, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the feel is on this. Was that we basically send a letter out stating that a determination had been made that the county was going to be applying for these hazard mitigation grant funds strictly on behalf of the property owners who had received substantial damage, and then defining what that substantial damage was. But he also talked about possibly giving them an opportunity if they still feel that they were substantially damaged
to become a part of that group,
to provide us with information basically showing that that's the case. Now, I'll be honest, in my conversations this morning with some of these folks, the majority of the folks I spoke with, I had a damage estimate around 25%. In my conversations with them, they really confirmed that they were nowhere close to that 50% threshold, that they would likely be in the 25 to 30% range.
While I don't think specifically we have voted on this point, we have discussed this point, and reiterating a point, Jim, that you made last week, which I think is very relevant, if in fact both types are brought into the equation, we might not make the mark, and everybody, all homeowners, might not receive funding if we don't make the mark. So,
correct.
I'm paraphrasing what you said, but I like the concept of those who feel that they were substantially damaged having an opportunity to show that they were and become a part of this project.
Now, at this point, they would have to have a pretty short window of opportunity, just because we've got such a short time frame until that August 17th date.
Tell me what that would involve. Would that involve a new appraisal along with an appraisal of what damage was? Would it? I don't.
Well, if it could be that if they brought us an appraisal, along with a cost estimate from a contractor, or the other option would be if they actually had their insurance information, where basically FEMA had made an indication as to what the value of the house was versus what the dollar amount was of the damages. I've contacted SEMA, and they have indicated that we could utilize that as well. And so if they did have flood insurance and the FEMA inspectors have made this assessment, we could actually utilize their assessment. Now, I think it's going to be a fairly, my feel is it's going to be a fairly limited number of folks, just because, like I said, the majority of the folks I've talked with basically concur that we're in the ballpark, that it's not, that it's well below the 50%.
But you all are going to need a decision from us.
Yes.
One way or the other before.
I mean, the challenge that the residents are going to have and that I have is that as we've delved into this onion, we've peeled back another layer to find out that the people we want to help, really we can't. It penalizes everyone. And some of the policies that FEMA has put forth on this buyout grant really prevents us from being able to help them because it affects everybody. Those who are the most affected. And I think our last conversation, we were talking about if they weren't close to 40 or 45% damage, we really couldn't even entertain that conversation. And with the upcoming deadline of, the 17th, is that correct, Bob?
Yes.
For those who are not substantially damaged, they would need to provide a bunch of paperwork all of a sudden for us to even make the application, which is in, 11 days.
Exactly.
Well, I know that as I understand more of these ratios that they're talking about, and there's just no way that we could take any house that was less than 40% damaged. Now, I mean, I'm prepared to, be more specific for you to be able to send a letter and say, we'll help you craft the letter, but basically saying that as we understand the program more, we can't consider you part of the buyout because of how FEMA looks at the damage and the ratios that they study. And then follow up with another document or contact with those people who are in that 40 to 45% or 40 and above to 50, asking them to provide the documentation necessary by a certain date, which would basically be Friday.
Oh, exactly.
And if they can't provide it, then they won't be considered either.
And really, at this point, we have done that.
Okay.
Essentially, everybody 40% or over, the two people that have expressed interest have provided us with enough documentation to go to reassess their property and to make a substantial damage determination.
Okay.
I don't have that in front of me. Were there five or six properties that were 40 and above?
Total of six.
Six, okay.
Okay, and were they all primary or...?
We did find, and this is one thing too that I discovered. A couple of these were actually rental properties, not nightly rental, but rental properties. And even though they're rental properties, this is one thing Mr. Davis and I had a conversation with FEMA about. As long as they're a full-time rental, that they're not a nightly rental, they're still looked upon as a primary residence because it served as a primary residence for that renter. And so we've been able to look at a few of these folks that we didn't think we would be able to be honest with you. And in fact, I had another one that qualified, and basically she made the decision that she was going to rebuild. But she would have actually, it would have been really close. She could have possibly provided documentation taking her just over the 50%, but she made a determination that she didn't want to proceed.
Can I ask just one question? The FEMA, I think you mentioned earlier in your comments, FEMA also can provide estimated cost of the appraisal or estimated cost of the property. Is that what the application is based off? Is that dollar figure then?
Well, and that's just it. And this has caused a lot of confusion. We really can use $1 figure to determine substantial damage, and that dollar figure is just the supposed to be a dollar figure that's assigned just to the structure. But then ultimately, what they'll be paid for the property is based on the market value of the house. Now, to give them an approximate value, in some cases it was fairly straightforward. They actually would provide an appraisal, and he would say, well, based on that appraisal, you know, I would, and some of these appraisals were a few years old, so he would say, well, based on this appraisal that came in at this, you know, this is what you're likely to see at the end of this.
Let me add that based on the direction to move forward, serving as a liaison of this group with these two gentlemen, I took the liberty to ask them to talk to real estate appraisers and to get estimates on what the cost would be if, in fact, it would be quicker for us as a commission to move forward than it would individuals contacting, mm-hmm. and could we get a better price. And they've got, I think you came back with three different estimates. Not that we have to mention those now unless the commissioners want to know what those are, but we do have figures.
Well, I guess in the next 5 minutes or so, what decisions do we have to have made right now, Bob, to make sure that we're moving forward and to meet with Mr. Davis' timeline and all the other timelines? What do you need from us?
I think probably the key thing is I think we just need confirmation that this is the direction we want to proceed, that we're going to look at the substantially damaged properties. And I think really that's the key thing. He did need some other pieces of information that I was going to try to track down as far as Tina County's federal tax ID number, DUNS number, that type of thing. But
and we have all that. Well, rather than a motion that would be entertained regarding those that are listed as substantially damaged, perhaps our motion should be any that are found to be substantially damaged, if that's the direction this commission wishes to go.
You may ask a clarifying question again. You had six homes that were in the 40 to 49 percentile.
Yes.
Okay. Of those six, two of them you're going to reevaluate because it looks like they may be substantial.
Yes.
Okay, so you have four left. Give me those lowdown of those four again.
And of the four that are left, one provided us with documentation. They didn't hit the 50%.
They did what they did, but they're not there yet.
Exactly.
Okay. You have three then.
The other one was going to be really close, and she gave me a letter where she basically stated thank you, but I'm not interested.
So you got two left.
And then of the two, I've got one that is still basically debating, and I fibbed to you. I actually have five. I misspoke.
Okay, so you just have
one. So I really just have one.
And what are they debating?
She's
the value?
She still hasn't. Or I shouldn't
probably
say she.
Know whether or not she wants to rebuild.
They haven't made the decision as to whether or not they want to rebuild at this point. They're still.
But if we make the decision that they're not substantially, we've made the decision for her.
And
I think with the I'm sorry, Dan, go ahead.
No, you were in the middle.
Well, I was going to say, I think with the timeline that we're given, the new rules, all the facts that are coming out since we've hired or getting ready to hire this Mickey Davis firm, I think we have to just move forward with only properties that can be proven that they're substantially damaged.
Yes.
I mean, these formulas that they're throwing out at us, I don't see how any house that would be under 50% ever gets qualified with the whole lot. I think it takes everyone to non-compliance or non-standard.
Would you bring those up? Again, to clarify, and you know what? I'd feel better about having moved forward with these guys and with him. The only thing we entered into is the NOI, which is due in 9 days, which is the 17th of August.
Yes.
And he agreed to provide everything that's necessary for the NOI for $1,500. The balance is contained within, you've turned to the scope of services.
We got the same email on that.
You've already seen it?
No, not that. The other document you're talking about, the NOI. We've seen the document that he emailed to us about the price and all that. So we're moving forward with that. Is that correct?
Yes. That's
all done.
That's why he's working on this.
Okay.
My question is, I went out of here believing that I could certainly do this, but we don't have a motion on the floor, although I had consensus to do this and did move forward, but I would feel more comfortable.
I'll make a motion if it makes you feel more comfortable on that, Ron.
Second?
Yeah, I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve the professional services contract entered into by and between State and Local Emergency Management Consultants, LLC, and Taney County. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. And again, just as a follow-up, this is the NOI only. I want that clarified. That's the notice of interest, correct?
My understanding
and
was...
Then I would like you guys to look through this, because I asked Ron to go ahead, because it had to be to the papers today, I think, right?
Right, it is.
Although we could cancel it if you all choose not to.
It's a terminology, Ron, it's the terminology of the proposal that we're going to make a motion on that is of interest to me on this. I'm ready to move forward with it. We're under a very limited time frame.
That's right.
This is the second half of that proposal.
This is being
good. Right, that's the second half because it was over the minimum.
Actually, it's going to be a whole lot more than just a half because it could be anywhere from probably 4,000.
I was referring to it as project management. I mean, that's the terminology that's being used. Complete the project.
Yes.
And manage it to its total completion.
So we're in a consensus agreement to send this bid out is all we need. Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't need to, because you're sending out, we're not awarding anything.
No.
Correct.
So we're...
That's correct. I just wanted you all to look through this.
And
this an extra copy? No?
Yeah.
and
well, good answer.
And just to clarify one thing, this $1,500 contract is for the completion of both the notice of interest and for the application as well.
I thought that, okay, that's what I was assuming was the notice of interest was the app, but
now,
okay.
The reason we didn't go farther is the fact that Mickey Davis told us that this could change with just exactly what you were talking about with the moving up of a couple of homes or maybe even 3 to 5 homes or something like that into this range. Well, you've already done your investigation.
Exactly.
That's what this was here, so.
And the benefits cost analysis would have cost.
Right.
They had given us an indication that would likely be close to the $30,000 range, was my understanding.
Gentlemen, do you have any other questions for?
I just want to state for the record that the RFP that I've created there, 201108-145, is completed. The notice for announcing that RFP has been sent to the newspaper and is scheduled to print on Wednesday. Also, I plan to meet with our IS team in the morning to make sure that that's posted on our website, coinciding with that date. The last thing is I will be also forwarding that RFP to 2 or 3 other similar type agencies that I've been able to locate, none of which clearly indicate the exact parameters that I've detailed in there, but come close. And from a procurement standpoint and to meet all the RSOMOs that I'm subject to meet, I'm going to roll those out just as soon as I can, coinciding with August the 10th. The opening date is scheduled in here in front of you gentlemen on Monday, August the 29th at 9 a.m. To open and award almost simultaneously because of the time frame that we're under to get this project completed as quickly as possible, and I'm committed to work with Bob and his team and with whoever gets awarded the completion of the project.
Well, just for your edification, so you'll know, if in fact there are multiple proposals that are submitted, we're probably going to ask you to take them out and do some type of comparison for us and then bring them back.
Completely. Right. Absolutely. I'm prepared to do that. No problem.
But one thing, if I could, just to put this out there, too. Diane May with the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments, she has indicated that she'll put together this CDBG grant application for us at no cost, and that she would work hand in hand with Mickey with Mickey Davis's firm to do that. There are some concerns that application's not even going to be coming out for several weeks, the CDBG grant application. But there are some early concerns that that application may be geared toward moderate and low-income housing. And so we don't know. We're still looking at that to see if that's going to be something we can utilize or not utilize.
Well, Bill Gates would think this is all moderate or low-income housing.
Exactly, for the 25% match. So I did just want to throw that out there.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for your work on this.
Thank you.
Stay on top of it for us, because we've got an awful lot of deadlines to meet. I appreciate you.
Exactly. We will. Thank you.
Ready to proceed to the next motion?
Yes.
Motion to go into executive for the legal update pursuant section 610.021.1, 2, 3, and 12.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to go into executive session per section 610.021, subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed,
aye.
Nay. Ron, aye.
Nay.